I want to read from Leviticus chapter 23, beginning in verse 23. Again, the Eternal spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first of the month, you shall have a rest, a reminder by blowing." It means making noise, teruah, a loud noise. And the word trumpets is in italics. Now, they did blow a trumpet on the first of every month. They blew trumpets. And sometimes there were two types of trumpets, and they blew the trumpets that announced different things for congregation, and the shofar was the main trumpet for blowing, for announcing a problem of war and so on. And also they blew the shofar for celebration of the king, to announce the king. The seventh month, we used to be the first month of the civil year, and the holy calendar, God started with the green ears month, the month of Abib, where the Passover comes. The 15 days before the Passover is the first day of the first month. You shall not do any laborious work. You shall present an offering made by fire to the Eternal. So the shofar was also blown on the Day of Atonement, especially for the Jubilee year. On the Day of Atonement, that started the Jubilee year, all sins were wiped out, everything was wiped out, the Jubilee starts, everybody goes back to their land again and gets a new shot at trying to make life right. It was the day that the kings took the throne, on the first of Tishri, and the trumpet blast was either a shout, a blast of war, a shout of alarm, or a shout of joy. But in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul ties the coming of Jesus to the day of the Lord. And he does this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2. "For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord..." Now, that's the Hemera day of the Kurios, the day of the Lord in Greek, "will come just like a thief in the night." So the day of the Lord, then he ties that to the coming of Christ and the resurrection. You'll see it here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. "Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together with him, that you may not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by spirit or a message or a letter as from us, as to the effect that this day of the Lord has already come." Okay? It has not already come. He said, I'm just one of the people who are trying to say the day of the Lord has come. It's not yet come. But the day of the Lord is also the day of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you see it in 1 Thessalonians. What does that mean to us? What's it mean to you, the coming of our Lord? What does it mean to you? No, the day of the Lord in the Old Testament is a day of gloominess. It's darkness of clouds, thick darkness. It's a day when people are going to run and be terrified of the day of the Lord. It's the day that God is going to reconcile everything, and he's going to punish the evildoers. People say, well, is God just going to sit here and let all these things do? People kill each other and cheat each other and do all the evil that they do. No, there's a day coming. It's called Yom Yahweh. It's called the day of the Lord, and it's going to be the day of the Eternal. He's going to come and put things right. But it's for us, it's going to be a day of salvation. For some people, it's going to be a day of terror. But for us, it's going to be a day of salvation. Here it is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep." If you've lost somebody, you lost a wife, son, father, mother, sister, brother, cousin, best friend, so on, They've fallen asleep. That's what the Bible calls it. That you may not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. We have a hope. I have a hope. You have a hope. Without a hope, I was asked one day, does your faith help you to suffer this loss? I said, well, absolutely. I thought I was never going to see Molly again. It would just be so painful. But I have a hope. But here's what Paul writes now in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. You fall asleep in faith in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord. Now, in that first century, they thought, you know, probably you would think that they thought that Jesus was going to come while they were still alive. But I think it's inspired because wherever century you're in, what we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not precede, go ahead of those who have fallen asleep. Just because they died earlier doesn't mean that if we see the coming of the Lord, that we're going to go ahead of them. No, no, no. So Paul writes this, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, the acclamation, the shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. So it's a day for us, for all those who are alive or are dead in Christ. Then we who are alive and remain, first of all, the dead will rise first before anything changes with you. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we always be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. There's a hope that we have in the future. I want to show you how many times the Bible refers to the day of the resurrection, the day of the time when we will be with Christ and the day when he will come. Here it is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 now, verses 12 and 13. And may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all people, all just as we also do for you, so that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Paul is telling us pretty much what Jesus said. He's going to come, you know, it's like lightning from east to west, and he's going to come with his holy angels with all his saints. In this case, saints can mean the angels, okay? The angels coming. Holy one. The word saints means holy ones. And if he's coming with his holy angels, and that's what Jesus said he was coming with. Okay. But notice also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 19. For who is our hope or joy or crown of exaltation? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming? So this day of the shout, of the trumpet, and the return of Jesus at his coming and his appearing as his coming here is going to be a day of resurrection. Is it not you? What is our hope and joy? Is it not you in the presence of the Lord Jesus? You don't want to miss that. You want to be there in that presence of the Lord Jesus. Take a look at Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to hit a bunch of scriptures here. I hope it's not boring to you, but I wanted you to see how much of the New Testament talks about Christ coming, the resurrection of the dead, our appearing with Christ whether we're dead or alive, we're going to be with him at that coming. Look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven. That's where mine is. That's where yours is. And Paul was on earth when he wrote this, but he said our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Where is he coming from? He's going to come from heaven with a shout, with a trumpet. From our Lord Jesus Christ, who will, when Christ comes, transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory. And he'll do that by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. God has given Jesus all power in heaven and earth, and he can subject everything to himself, and he's going to change our bodies that they might be like his glorified body. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, Paul writes, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until," now listen to this phrase, "the day of Christ Jesus." Now he's saying there's a day. That coming of Christ is the day of Christ Jesus. Also, the day of the Lord, for the day of the Lord will not come. The day of the Lord and the day of the Lord Jesus. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, we see it this way. So that you are not, I'm reading from New American Standard Version, 1 Corinthians 1, verses 7 and 8. So that you are not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who, what's he going to do? Shall also confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to be the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the day of the Lord. It's going to be the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's going to be the day of our Savior. Our Savior is the day of Christ. By the way, that's used also in Philippians 1 verse 10, the day of Christ. So that you may, I'm going to read Philippians 1 10, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. It's also used one other time in Philippians 2 and verse 16, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may have cause to glory, because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. The day of Christ means the day of the Messiah. In the Hebrew, it's the Messiah, okay? The anointed one, the king, the anointed kings. When David was urged by his friend, by his fellow men to strike down Saul at an opportune time, he said, "I'm not going to raise my hand against the Lord's anointed." He's the Messiah. He's the one that's done this. But they also had, the Jews also believed there was going to come this other Messiah. And they kind of combined that with Son of Man, the Son of Man from the book of Daniel. The Son of Man was going to be coming. But the Messiah would be this anointed one. So when people said, "You're the Christ," when Peter said, "You're the Christ," Jesus said, "Don't tell anybody. Don't say that. Don't talk about that out loud," because the Messiah meant the king. Well, you only have one king. "We only have one king," said the Pharisees when they turned on Jesus, and the Jews said, "We only have one king, and that's Caesar. We're not fighting Caesar." So the Messiah meant the king, if you were the Messiah. And so all the Jews thought the Messiah, when you say Jesus is the Messiah, well, let's see what he's going to do. Is he going to come down off the cross and straighten out? Is he going to come over and rule and overthrow Rome? Is that what he's going to do? But in these scriptures of Christ and the day of Christ, there's an urgent message to be ready. We have to be ready. And you'll see it over and over again, but I'll read a few scriptures here. Luke chapter 12, verse 39 and 40. And be sure of this. This is Jesus. These are Jesus' words. And be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have allowed his house to be broken into. That's right. Absolutely. You know, somebody said, well, you know what? That there's a guy who's going to break into your house at 10 o'clock in the evening. And you go, oh, yeah? Well, we'll see about that. You know, I'll be ready. But if the head of the house had known what hour the thief was coming, he would not have allowed his house to be broken into. You too, then, have to be ready for the Son of Man. Now, you see, it's the day of Christ, the day of the Messiah, and now it's the day of the Son of Man. The Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. He's coming. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. To an hour you don't know. So if someone said, a person is going to break into your house sometime during the night, we don't know, but they said they're coming, what would you do? Sleep all night? No, you'd be sitting up there ready, you know, guard your house or whatever you have to do to protect it. You'd be ready, right? If you know what hour it's going to come, but you don't know what hour, so you have to be ready all the time, right? That's why we have to be not spiritually sleeping, because we don't know what hour. Luke chapter 21 and verse 34. Jesus says, be on your guard. Now, King James says, watch, watch. It means be on, the word watch doesn't mean look at a television set. It doesn't mean watch, you know. It means be on your guard. It means be alert. Be when somebody says watch out, if somebody said watch out, what does it mean? Okay, I'm looking for my watch, wrist watch. What are we talking about? Watch out. It means be careful. Be careful. Watch out. You know. Well, watch means here be on the alert. Okay, so let me read it here. Be on guard. This is Luke chapter 21, verse 34. Be on guard that your hearts, your being, your soul, your way you are, their heart, your what you look for, what you're thinking about, may not be weighted down with dissipation. You're letting yourself dissipate, go downhill. You're not, your heart is weighted down. It can be weighted down with troubles, with dissipation. You're letting your energies go down the drain and so on. And drunkenness and the worries of life. Now, by the way, this is just the worst possible thing to add alcohol to your worries. I'm worried. I can't make my bills. I can't make my thing. Well, let me have another drink. Let me have another shot of liquor. Let me have another couple of steins of beer. You know, let me drink my troubles away. Well, now you're not going to drink them away. You're going to drink more troubles to yourself rather than drink your troubles away. The worries of this life, okay? So now, let's read it again. Be on guard that your hearts may not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life. And that day, oh, that day. See that day? When the Bible talks that day, we're talking about that day come on you suddenly, like a trap. That day, the coming of the Son of Man. That day, the coming of Jesus Christ. That day, okay? It said also in 24, Matthew 24, dropping all the way down to verse 42 in Matthew 24, and he reads like this, therefore be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. Day, which day? But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what hour of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have what? Had his house broken into, but not allowed his house to be broken into. For, I'm reading now from Matthew 24, now verse 44. For this reason, you be ready to. You need to be ready to. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. At an hour that you don't know. You don't think he will come at that hour. So you don't know which hour, because you say, I'll be ready. Spiritually, we have to be ready. Spiritually, he's not talking about sitting by your window with a gun. He's talking about spiritually being ready at all times so that you're not spiritually asleep. Okay, so it's, the Bible talks about the day of the Lord. You'll see it in 2 Peter chapter 3, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. That's 2 Peter 3 in verse 10. You can see it also, he's talking about the day of God. He talks about the day of God will come. He talks about that day, that it's the day of judgment. Look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. In other words, you got to do more than talk, okay? But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven, many will say to me on that day. See that day? That's a very important. On that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. If you practice lawlessness, it doesn't matter what you say to Jesus. Your way of life is not good. On that day, many will say to me, that's the day of the coming, the day of the Lord. Mark chapter 14, truly I say to you, I shall never again drink of the fruit of the vine. You remember when he was having his last supper with them? I shall never drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it in the kingdom of God. That day of the Lord, that day of Christ's return is the beginning of this great kingdom of God, a change in the world leading up to the great changes of the new heaven and earth and all the wonderful things that are going to happen. But it all begins with that day. Mark chapter 13, verse 32. But of that day or hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven. You know, so many people have spent their lives trying to figure out the very end of the 6,000-year period, the exact day of Christ's return, when that could possibly be. There have been ministers who announced that it's going to happen. The Seventh-day Adventist group under William Miller announced it. People sold their properties. They waited for Christ to come and return. They thought they'd figured out that day or that year or that time. And Jesus says it. They don't even listen. Here it is. But of that day or hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven. They're closer to the throne of God and to the Father. Nor the Son. He's closer to the Father. But the Father alone. Take heed. Keep on the alert, for you do not know when the appointed time is. Is of that day or that hour, no one knows. Now, when that day comes, it'll be the day of the resurrection, right? And in John 6, in verse 39, you see this, and this is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. The last day of this world's rule, the last day, that day, they'll raise him up on the last day. Look at this in John 6, verse 40. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him may have eternal life. And I myself will raise him up on the last day. Raise him up. People will sleep in Jesus and be raised up. John 6 and verse 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. Now, the Apostle Paul said that Christ will come with a shout, okay, with a trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will what? Rise first, and those in Christ will be raised, and that will be the, quote, the last day, meaning it's the day of, when this world sort of, you know, this age is over. John 11, verse 24 and 25, when Jesus came and his friend Lazarus had died, and Jesus said, I could have resurrected, and his sister said, well, I know that he will be resurrected again in the last day, but Jesus said, well, you forgot that I am the resurrection. He will resurrect. In John chapter 12 and verse 48, he who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word that I spoke, it will judge him at the last day when people are raised up. Okay? And there are resurrections in those times. At the very last day can mean more than 24 hours. It doesn't mean it's day is a term, a period of time. Okay. All right. In Luke chapter 17, in verse 20 through 24, it says this. Now, having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed. Not at that time. Nor will they say, look, here it is, or there it is. For behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst. Now, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, repent and believe, the time is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Okay, but it was a gospel about the kingdom of God in a different way. All the Jews know the kingdom of God is a world ruling government. Everybody knew that, and it is a world ruling government. But it was breaking in at that time in a way that was not seen. And he said to his disciples, the days shall come when you will long to see the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, look here, look there. Do not go run after them. For just as the lightning, when it flashes out of one part of the sky and goes to the other part of the sky, so will the Son of Man be in his day. But at that time, the kingdom of God, he says, was in your midst. They didn't even know because he was the kingdom. He was the king of the kingdom right there. And he wanted his disciples and all who believed in him to live as though the kingdom of God were here, as though the millennium was here. He wanted them to live a life of joy and happiness and peace with other people and uprightness and worshiping of God and giving thanks to God for everything. He wanted him to live that life. That's the life you have to live. Even now, even though we live in a world filled with all kinds of stuff, there's still room for you to thank God. There's still room for you to do good. There's still room for you to praise God. There's still room for you to escape the evils of this world. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 4. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you like a thief. You're not in darkness. Because we're always going to be ready. Why? We don't know when the thief will come, but we're always ready. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. When he comes to be glorified in his saints on that day and to be marveled at among all who have believed, for our testimony to you was believed. You'd be shocked at how much the New Testament talks about Christ's return, the resurrection from the dead. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. For this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. When he refers to that day, he's referring to the day of Christ's coming, the day of the resurrection. Romans chapter 2, verse 16. On the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Christ Jesus. When Christ Jesus comes, he will be the judge. He'll judge the secrets of men. He will judge us. And even in Hebrews chapter 10, look at this. Hebrews chapter 10, dropping down to verse 24. And let us consider how to stimulate one another in love, to love and good works. We urge one another toward love and good works, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day drawing near. Now, it's hard to see it because you don't know what hour, you don't know what day, you don't even know the day or an hour, you don't know. But as we see the day drawing near, and you know when you see it drawing near? As your life gets older and older. I see the day drawing near for me now. Some of the older brethren see the day drawing near. They're not going to be around here that long. They see the day drawing near. And we want to have fellowship. By the way, reason we're not at the hall, we couldn't get it to have fellowship together today. But we plan to be at the hall in Temple City on the Day of Atonement. That's Monday, I believe, the 26th day of September. And we'll have 10:30 services and the Day of Atonement. So you don't need to forsake the assembling of yourselves together, and it's good that we see each other and that we spend time with each other and that we exhort one another and that we love one another. Romans chapter 2, verse 5, but because of your stubbornness, he's addressing the Jews here, but because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, the day of the Lord, the day of the Yahweh, the day of the Lord, and the rendering to every man according to his deeds. There's going to be a reckoning time to those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality and eternal life, but to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness and wrath, they will get wrath and indignation. So the New Testament talking about this great time, the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord Jesus, the day of the Messiah, the day of God, the day of Christ, the day of the resurrection, so on. 2 Timothy chapter 4, what does Paul say? 4 and verse 8, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge will award me when? On that day. He knew what he meant. You know what he means. On that day. On the day of Christ's return, on the day of the resurrection, on the day when we were, our bodies will be transformed to be like unto his glorious body. And not only to me, Paul says, but also to all who have loved, who long for, loving the day of his appearing. We love that. We want that. Okay? So it's okay, it's the September 25th, Monday the September 25th is the Day of Atonement. It's already on the screen for you. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Listen to what he says. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You can't go there in flesh and blood. You can't inherit it, okay? There's a part of the kingdom that's touching us today. Touching us because we say, what do we say in our Lord's Prayer? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And how is that done on earth? Through you. If you do the will of God, you're doing the will of God on earth as it is in heaven. You and I are doing it now. We have to do it now. Now I say to you, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. And that's good at any age, at any time. He wrote it back then in the first century. He's sleeping. Every one of them, every one of the Jesus disciples, every one of the later ministers, later great leaders of the church, they're all sleeping. Everybody's sleeping. 200 years ago, there were leaders of the movement, of the Sabbatarian movements, and they're all dead, okay? They're all dead. And the perishable, and I expect myself, you know, one of these days I won't be here. But I'm going to look for that and love the day of the Lord Jesus. I'm going to love that day. I love his appearing. But I say to you by that the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor the perishable inherit imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 through 52. But we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound. And here it is what's going to happen. And the dead will be raised. Imperishable. And we, if you're alive at that time, will be changed. We don't know when that's going to happen. I don't know. The dead will be raised. Did you ever wonder why after Christ was killed, he was crucified, they took him down, put him in a tomb, you know, his body was put in a tomb for a time. And so all of a sudden, on the first day of the week, the women go to the tomb. He's not there. Did you ever wonder why the disciples didn't say something like this? And you don't read this anywhere in the New Testament. There's not anything like this, which the later church abandoned the teaching that I'm telling you today. They abandoned it. They threw it out. They don't read it, they don't talk about it, they don't preach it. So what happened to the later church? You don't find any statement like people talk about today. Oh, well, he's gone to be in heaven with his mother or his father, his brothers. When he's gone, did any disciple say, well, don't worry about it. our Lord has gone back to his Father. He's up in heaven now. Did anybody say that? No. No, they didn't even think it. It never crossed their mind because the religion of the Old Testament pretty much said the same thing. People die, they have to be resurrected. Daniel says there's going to be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. In the book of Isaiah, there are various chapters and various statements about the resurrection. People will be raised. In Ezekiel chapter 37, you have the valley of dry bones. It's, you know, a metaphor, of course, but it's talking about people coming back. It's a form of metaphor using the resurrection. Not one disciple said, well, okay, now we know where he is. He went to heaven to be with the Father. No, they didn't say that. Peter said, I guess it's all over. The man we thought were going to lead us and the Messiah was going to lead us to overthrow everything or to bring in a new kingdom, and he's gone. So I think I'm going to go fishing. Now, he didn't mean what a lot of people mean. I'm going to go fishing on a vacation. I'm going to take a vacation and go out fishing. No, he said, I'm going back to my profession. I'm going to go back to the job I used to have. I'm going to go back to earn a living now. Okay, he's gone. We gave everything. We followed him. We did everything he said. We're trying to follow him. But I guess it's all over. He's dead. And they didn't know. He told them he would be raised in 3 days. But, you know, you can say that. But, you know, how many people are raised? How many people have you ever seen raised? How many people have you ever known who died who came back? You don't know of any who were actually put in the grave. You saw them buried? No. Nearly all New Testament writers talked about and they looked to the day of Christ, to the time of the resurrection, to the resurrection or the return of Jesus Christ and the return of him as either the Son of Man or the Messiah or the Lord as the Lord. He is, or he, or he would come as God, or, and they would, and he would judge the living and the dead. Okay. And that the righteous would enter his kingdom. And in that day, in that era, and people would be transformed. They would live a transformed existence. It would no longer be the way they are. Now, if you took, just to show you, because I showed you just some of the scriptures, I didn't read every scripture on the resurrection or the day of the Lord Jesus and all that. I read you a lot, but I didn't read them all. But if you took out the stories about Jesus' birth, and those are very important stories, part of the gospel. But let's say we took those out of the New Testament. We would lose 2 chapters in the book of Luke and 2 chapters in the book of Matthew. The rest of the New Testament will remain. Okay, those 2 chapters in Matthew and in Luke would be the only chapters we'd lose if we took out anything referring to the birth. But if we took out all the passages, all the inferences to the resurrection of the dead and the coming of Jesus Christ, we'd hardly have any New Testament left. Any New Testament. This day, then, a symbol of the great trumpet, of the great time, of a transformed world, and our resurrection, the day of the Lord, will be for us, the day of the Lord Jesus, the day of the Lord our the Messiah, the day of the Lord when we will be transformed, resurrected from the dead with our loved ones who will come first, if we're still alive. I do not anticipate being alive on the day Christ comes. I think I'll be in the grave. And I don't mind. That'll be okay. As long as I'm I want to believe in his coming, and I want to be resurrected. I want to be one of the first to rise. I won't be the first, but I'll be one of the one. I want to be in that. I want to be in that number. And I hope you do too. Join me as we end our services with prayer today. Our Father, who has such glory and such honor, our Father, who has given glory and passed it out to your Son, and your Son has given glory and passed it out to all those who believe, to look forward to a time of glory and peace and wonderment, transformed from these human bodies which are frail, hurting, where our cartilage disappears and our knees hurt and our back hurts, sometimes our neck hurts, to the breaking down of our tissues in these bodies, which are marvelous. They really are marvelous because you put in them healing ability, and we cut ourselves and the body can heal itself through it, through your power that you put in it. Marvelous. We are a marvelous work, but not complete. And we need to have that new body, the resurrected body. And Paul said, we don't know what body they come with. It'll be a glorified body. It'll be imperishable. It'll be incorruptible. These bodies are corruptible. We look forward to that time with faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, in all that he has taught us, with belief that he's coming to resurrect all of us, including our loved ones. We give you thanks now for that time and for that great hope, a hope that goes beyond the things of this world, beyond our pain and suffering, beyond our discouragement, a hope that transforms everything in our lives. For that, Father, we give you thanks and praise your holy name through our Savior, our Lord, Jesus the Savior, in his name, amen.